offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Where are our two guests from? I know, but where? Madras. And both from Madras. Okay. We call it Madras more or Chennai more?
Chennai.
Chennai. How did you find your way here tonight? Oh, okay. You are staying in Wellington?
Yes. Okay.
3 years. Alright. So you can see that the knowledge of Krishna is not restricted to any particular continent. In Madras, your family is on Vaishnavas or? Many. Worshipping many. Yes. Both? The Shastra says that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam says, fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. Why don't we let Sue and someone share a book? Since Sue is new, that means her powers of concentration are the least. It'll be hard for her just to hear who among the men has the least power of concentration. Ezra. Ezra and Jimmy. Or it's a toss-up between Jimmy and Mark. Alright, I'll let you all decide. Just see some books manifested. Madhuri, you're still nursing your mouth? What will you do at the time of death? Madhuri had 4 teeth taken out yesterday in the hospital, so she's feeling the adiatmic miseries of the body and mind. They gave you anesthesia? Also, you couldn't do my dentist meditation, could you? The dentist meditation is while the dentist is drilling you or digging into your gums, you're thinking, this is the body that I'm trying to enjoy. Now just feel the truth about it. You couldn't do that. But now you can afterwards. All right, returning to chapter 13, page 109. For the benefit of our guests from India. Yeah, we do things a little different here because the Western mentality is different. You know, in India everything is very solemn and very grave. Yeah. Externally, anyway. In private, so many things happen, but in public. Right? But, you know, in the West everything is wild. So you can't expect them to act, you know, in an Indian way, in mind. In fact, you'll find that in India, so many people take Krishna for granted. Oh yes, we are doing everything about Krishna. My grandmother told me all the stories. I already know. You don't have to tell me. But in a country like this, once they've suffered from intense hedonistic activities, then they're very desperate to hear about Krishna. But in India, so often they take Krishna for granted. Oh, we know all about Krishna, Shiva, Durga, all the gods. So it is sad that sometimes in the land of Krishna, India, people have forgotten Krishna. But then, when people from India see how these Western men and women outside of India are taking Bhagavad Dharma very seriously, and it makes you think, doesn't it? And sometimes they come from India, just like our Satya, and really go down to the bottom. But then they begin their Bhagavad Dharma, their Krishna consciousness, here in the West, outside of India. In India, you did not take it seriously, right? All this grand Hindu grandmother stories, right? Yes. Now he's so serious. You know him? You see such a difference, yeah? Also, his mother becoming such a sadhu. You know his mother? She reads the Shastra 5 hours a day. So you can also do like that. Yes. Now, chapter 13. Five potent forms of devotional service. These five things we're going to read about are described by Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, as the five limbs of bhakti, in that these five things, any one of them, can arouse your ecstatic love of Krishna. Okay? Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Interesting. Just a small attachment for even one of these five things can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Okay, first we're going to discuss worshipping the form of the Lord. Regarding worship of the form of the Lord, or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. Very famous verse. My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshigat, a bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. And he is playing on his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Sri Murti, or deity of Krishna, by worshipping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus, it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and to begin the process of worshipping along with all of his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking, drinking, and so forth. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. Yes, you can make your home a Krishna conscious place by centering all the activities in the home around Krishna. if householders have regular deity worship. Not that you just keep some statues in your house, but if you have regular deity worship and make the deities the center of your house, then, as Prabhupada writes, you won't have time to be caught up in so many nonsense activities like going to clubs and cinemas and parties and smoking and drinking, so on and so forth. Of course, we have our Gaura Nithai here at this center, and Gaura Nithai are mainly worshipped by chanting Hare Krishna, by kirtan. Rupa Goswami, he's giving you a vision of Krishna standing on the edge of the Jamuna River, and he's telling you, if you still have any desire to enjoy this material world, don't look at this person, Krishna, as he's standing on the bank of the Jamuna River. Don't look. Because if once you look upon Krishna, you'll forget all your material attachments. Hare Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the story of one devotee named Mukunda, and he was a royal physician tending the king. And Mukunda was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he would keep it hidden because he was externally engaged in his occupation as a royal physician. But once the king was on a high throne, very high throne, and Mukunda was up on the throne with him, tending the king as the royal physician. And a servant came in with a peacock fan, and immediately when Mukunda saw the peacock fan, what did he think of? He thought of Krishna, the peacock feather on Krishna's head. So he went into an ecstatic mood, and he fell off the high throne onto the ground. He was stunned in ecstasy just by seeing the peacock fan for the king. He remembered the peacock feather on the head of Krishna. So down he went to the floor. So the king was quite astonished. What's wrong with you? What's wrong? What happened? So Mukunda just told him, simply an epileptic seizure, that's all. This is how potent everything about Krishna is. Everything about Krishna provokes transcendental ecstasy. His raised nose, his eyes like lotus petals, his smile, all these things provoke transcendental ecstasy. Rupa Goswami further writes, "My dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, but that's all." It is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam describe stunned in ecstasy, not fan, just by seeing the peak of your heart. The sound vibration of hearing about Krishna, first of all you have to get it into your ears, and then from your ears it goes into your heart. And once that sound vibration of Krishna penetrates your heart, then jubilation begins to expand in your heart. This will happen if you simply go on every day rendering the 9 processes of devotional service. You'll get to that point where the sound vibration enters into the ear and goes into the courtyard of your heart, and then jubilation dances in your heart. So you see that Krishna consciousness is quite an emotional experience. But it's not sentimental. It's not artificial. In Krishna consciousness, you're dealing with the perfection of emotions. That is what nectar devotion is preparing you for, the world of perfect emotions. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruitive results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, one cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Rasa Leela, love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. You can think about this. In order to hear Srimad Bhagavatam properly, the hearer, the recipient, has to be in the mood of throwing out from the heart the dirty things. That takes work. It's like you're cleaning a dirty place. You have to throw things out. Similarly, you have to actively seek to clean your heart by throwing things out. Don't be content with the way you are. There's nothing glorious about it. Get into the habit of throwing things out. Just like ladies, they're very expert in cleaning. They're always going through places, throwing things out. Kara used to be famous for throwing everything out. I remember at the first loft, we had to just hide everything because, you know, if you saw anything around, you just throw it out. Remember that? Yeah, well, where's that important paper I left on the table? Oops, I just thought it was supposed to be thrown out. Anything we left around loose would be gone. It's not like that anymore, is it? Nope, the same thing. Yeah, you're looking for something very important that, you know, I was sure I left it on the couch right here, just for a few minutes, you know? And you go, it's gone, what happened? So you have to have that kind of mood in terms of your heart. Always active to throw things out. Throw the dirty things out. It's when you lose this desire to throw out these dirty things that you start to sink and you become filled with material desires. In the above two verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. Yes. Make an elaborate arrangement and a strong endeavor to develop a material contamination. And then wonder why your life has problems. You can just see yourself saying to someone, would you like to develop a material contamination with me? You can try that, Sue. When you go to your office, you can say, hey, guess what, folks? Let's develop material contamination. What will they say? It'll get you like you're crazy. We don't know what such a thing is, huh? Oh, God. But to see the Sri Murtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed his verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love and was condemning the audience of Sri Murti or Govinda. This metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are to be condemned are praised. The actual import of the verse is that one must see the form of Govinda if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love, and society. Srila Rupa Goswami has similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Lord Krishna. A devotee once said, "It is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering of my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out to him always." The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. So this is what we're telling you. You have to have some anxiousness, some hankering. Let's hear about Krishna. Let's learn about Krishna. Let's become fully Krishna conscious. Don't just let your life drift away. Get a grip on your life and decide. You're going to learn about Krishna. You're going to become fully Krishna conscious. Don't just become victims of time. You'll be victimized by time unless you use this human form of life to become Krishna conscious. So don't let the time pass away in a foolish way. Don't let it pass by in a foolish way. Have an active plan how to engage in Krishna's service. Sometimes it will seem that it's a little difficult to render the service you want to do. But keep your mind open. There'll be always some kind of service to Krishna you can do. You can just chant Hare Krishna. You can read the books. Don't waste time. Every spare moment, try to read the books. Just like Jen, she wanted to go on Sankirtan this morning, but it was raining, so she went to the library. She read. Some or other. You know, always think, let the time pass away in a foolish way. Watch out when it seems to be in Krishna consciousness. Some victims of time. Don't just think, is that really salt? Is there really a lull? No, you have so many things you could do. You can chant more, you can read more. Similarly, there is a statement about hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra. It is said that saints have been able to hear the vibrating strings of the Veena in the hands of Narada, who is always singing the glories of Lord Krishna. Now, this same sound vibration has entered my ears, and I am always feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gradually, I am becoming bereft of all my attachment for material enjoyment. Yes, that is proper chanting. When the sound enters your ears and you feel the presence of Krishna, then obviously you're going to forget your attachment for material enjoyment. Therefore, we always stress careful chanting every day. You should all try to chant together. That's the best thing. Rather than each one wandering off. Try to chant together. Together seriously work at hearing the holy name. Together work at concentrating. And when you start hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll feel the presence of Krishna. And there'll be nothing like that. First, you've got to do a bit of scrubbing to get through the layers of dirt. It took you countless lifetimes to accumulate these layers of dirt. So what's wrong with spending a few years scrubbing away the layers of dirt? Continue reading. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described Mathura Mandala. I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. This feeling about Mathura Mandal and Vrindavan, described by Rupa Goswami, can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84-square-mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Yamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in those places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. You have been to Mathura or Vrindavan? No. You have? No? Okay. That is Krishna's birthplace. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated. But actually there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate results by such association, although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Bilva Mangala Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura and Vrindavan, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and do not necessarily apply to all. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. So these descriptions of the immediate effect of some form of devotional service may not be possible for everyone, but it does happen. Therefore, the Shastra is giving the evidence. Just like the four Kumaras, Chatusana, the four sons born of Lord Brahma's mind. How powerful Lord Brahma is. He can give birth to children through his mind. Just because you can't do that doesn't mean no one can. So the Chatusana, the four Kumaras, they were impersonalists, situated in impersonal Brahman realization. But just by smelling the tulsi buds on the lotus feet of the Lord, they became devotees fully. Tasnaravinda Nayana Sipadaravinda. The story is there in the third canto Bhagavata. Just by the fragrance of the Lord's feet. Whose feet do you know you've smelled and then your whole life changed? But Krishna is so unlimitedly beautiful that just the fragrance of his feet provokes ecstatic love in even persons who are liberated from material existence. Now, you may try to smell the tulsi buds and you don't immediately realize fully Krishna. That doesn't mean it's impossible. And it's true that if you go on with your devotional practices, you will develop sensitivity for Krishna's presence. Just like when Prabhupada told one Sankirtan lady, book distributor, he told her, if you just go out on Sankirtan every day for the rest of your life, one day you'll see Krishna on the street. Some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of varna and ashrama, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Roy about the gradual development of devotional service. He rejected the idea of the importance of Varnashram Dharma when it was put forward by Ramananda Roy. He said that this advancement of Varna and Ashrama is merely external. There is a higher principle. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says that one has to give up all other principles of elevation and take simply to the method of Krishna consciousness. That will help one in achieving the highest perfection of life. Varna and Ashrama is the system for classifying your material propensities and tendencies. Also condemned this idea, Ananda Roy, about the gradual system for ordering the affairs of this material world. Still, your Varna and your Ashrama are external. They're not pertaining to the soul. The soul does not become a brahmacharya, grihastha, or sannyas. The soul does not become a Brahma. Lord Chaitanya idea also condemned this. Designations are all pertaining to the outside, to the external. But they help. These categories help persons to live in the external world and practice Krishna consciousness at the same time. In the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, give up all these self-imposed dharmas. Give up all your labels you stuck on yourself and just surrender to me. What? You are worried about the consequences of not doing your so-called duty? But Krishna says he will protect you from any negative reactions. Last paragraph of this chapter. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord himself says, one should execute the prescribed duties of Varna and Ashrama as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastimes and activities. In other words, the prescribed forms of Varna ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, or salvation. All of these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed spontaneous attachment for Krishna does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. So Varnashram Dharma, as I've explained before, is Krishna's system for organizing the material world. It's not a spiritual system, but it's the best material system for social organization, because it's coming directly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chattu Varna, Mayastristam Gunakarma Babhagasa, before occupational divisions are created by him. But are you classified according to birth? Does Krishna say that? No. He says guna and karma. You're classified according to your quality and your activity, not birth. Of course, it is true that if you, for example, have a father who's a lawyer, you've taken birth in a family of lawyers, that gives you a good chance to be a lawyer, but doesn't guarantee it. You cannot say, because my father is a famous lawyer, I am also a famous lawyer. No clients will come to you because of that. You have to show the qualities. So this whole nonsense about I am a brahmana by birth is not accepted by the shastra. It is a complete concoction. I remember once when I was in India, in Delhi, and I had to get one of those motorized rickshaw in Delhi. And the man tried to charge me too much. We agreed on the price, then we got to the destination, and he tried to raise the price. So I told him, no, what we agreed on, that is it. And then he's a motorized rickshaw driver, wearing a dirty t-shirt, and he reaches under his dirty t-shirt and he pulls out some thread, goes like this to me. I was supposed to be impressed. I just looked at him. So this caste system misunderstanding has ruined India. You are classified not by birth, but by your qualities and activities that you demonstrate. Therefore, these persons who have been born in the West, although they are born in meat-eater families, they can become brahmanas if they change their quality and activities. I think everyone here except Satya and Madhuri were born in meat-eating families. Your family was vegetarian, Madhuri? Yes. Yours was also such? But then he came here and worked in Burger King. How did you find the smell? Horrible. At the counter. Oh, so it was different. You're taking the money, huh? Krishna gives everything. He even gives you the best plan for living within the material world, as well as giving you the best method for leaving the material world. Please remember these five potent forms of devotional service. Become very dedicated to them. Any questions? You have to search your heart for the weeds and uproot them. Dry them out in the sunlight of Krishna consciousness. You cut weeds and you let them dry in the sun. Through the torchlight of knowledge, pull out these weeds. Clean your heart. There's a tonic for everything. Keep an eye on your chanting. Keep an eye on your reading. Keep an eye on your association with devotees. Keep an eye on how you're prosecuting these five potent forms of devotional service. Watch and see how material attachments try to creep into your life. More what? By taking care. Keep an eye on your chanting. Keep an eye on. Organize your chanting session so it's peaceful. So you can concentrate. tonic for every. Keep an eye on your chest. Ladies, any questions? Mm-hmm. There's no Barn Ashram system now. It's not there now. Yeah, basically it's there. You have to situate yourself in an ashram so you can perform the worship service with a peaceful mind. Take a proper stance. The main thing now is to chant Hare Krishna with attention. That is the main thing. Even if there is a full-blown Barn Ashram system existing, still, the main thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Not to speak of now, when there's no proper social system for cultivating the desire to be Krishna conscious. Therefore, it's so important that each one of our devotees takes seriously this mantra yoga, this chanting of Hare Krishna. There's so much that is missing these days. Knowledge of spontaneous love of Krishna is unknown in human society. But even knowledge of how to live properly in the material world is unknown. You know what your life would have been like in a real Barn Ashram system? Huh? You don't know? You would have been married at 12. And happy. How old are you now? 28. That means in a Barn Ashram system, if it really existed, by the time you were 28, you'd probably have a 14-year-old son. There's no such system. So therefore we have to do the best we can, struggling to put these odds and ends into some kind of proper scheme of things. Requires guidance in these very difficult circumstances of no proper culture, no proper system. Don't be depressed, Prabhupada would say, because there's no proper social system. Just chant Hare Krishna with attention. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, Krishna is my everything. So therefore, I have nothing to fear, even though I've been sent by Kamsa. Krishna, who knows my heart, he knows I've got nothing to do with Kamsa. Krishna, he knows that I'm his unalloyed servitor. Just like in any kind of relationship, you know when you really are simply wanting this person. You know that. So Kuru is saying like that. I know, I just want Krishna and nothing else. It's not that he's being egotistical. It's just a statement of his existential situation. I know I don't want anything else but Krishna. It's like when you're taking the prasad. Today we had, we all missed our very nice feast cooked by, the cooks were led by Satya's mother. Very nice South Indian prasad. You missed. Of course, you have at home? You have wives? No, no, you missed. We had South India right here today. Chennai is considered South India? Yes. Yes. So, when you're eating the prasad, you're right there with it. You know, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. So, of course, he's feeling like that. He's going to Vrindavan to see Krishna. I know that I don't want anything else but Krishna. I don't have any desire except for Krishna. I know that. It's a proper kind of pride. Not that he considered he was a great devotee, but he's just asserting that I know, I don't want anything else but Krishna. I am Krishna's. Krishna is mine. You become Krishna conscious. You become a devotee of Krishna. That means you're always absorbed in Krishna's service. And specifically, I have a desire that devotees love Srila Prabhupada's books, love to read them, and love to distribute them. That everyone can do, one way or another. Yeah. There are no books like Srila Prabhupada's books.
Mm-hmm.
And such a taste. These books will protect you from the greatest absorbing, the greatest discouragements, the greatest bewilderments. By dedicating your life to these books, you shall have all about your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Pure devotional service is the desire to take birth again, to distribute these books. It is not pure devotional service to want to distribute the books so that you'll go to Krishna. That's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is birth after birth, I distribute these books if that's what Krishna wants. I stay in the material world and do that. That's pure devotion. And with such an attitude, you already are in the spiritual world. Operation here at the Gaura Yoga Center is meant to introduce people to Prabhupada's books. Therefore, the devotees who are the members, you have to radiate that enthusiasm for the books. That's the core activity. And then, of course, there's other things too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
First of all, any genuine incarnation of the Lord is described in the Shastra. If anyone says that they are an incarnation of God, you look and see if they're mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. If they're not there, you can forget them. The Lord Chaitanya is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. He's known as Channa Avatar, the hidden avatar. And what did he do? He gave out love of Krishna freely, even to those who don't have the qualification. Look at you. Because of Lord Chaitanya, you can take to Krishna consciousness, even though you have no qualification. Generally, in order to come to Krishna consciousness, you have to have many births of pious activities. But yet here you are, hearing about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. Why is that? Because of Lord Chaitanya, freely giving a chance to love Krishna, even to the most fallen persons. Our Sue works in the animal rights movement, you know, protecting animals who are being raised in severe conditions. So I told her, that means she's involved with the whole population. Animal rights, then she's concerned with everybody. Everyone is acting like animal these days. Dvipashu, two-legged animal. So how is it that these dvipashu, two-legged animals, can take to Krishna consciousness? Normally it's impossible. But because of Lord Chaitanya freely distributing love of Krishna, even to the unqualified, you can get a chance to perform Krishna consciousness without any prior qualification. There's one song. Parama karuna pahum vijana nitai gura chandra sabha avata sarsya romani kevala ananda kandra. Parama karuna, supremely merciful. These two brothers, Chaitanya and Nitai. Sabha avata sarsya romani. They are the essence of all avatars, the essence of all incarnations. And what do they propagate? Kevala ananda kandra. They're different khandas. Jnana khanda, the path of metaphysical speculation. Dharma khanda, the path of performing pious activities. But Chaitanya and Nitai, they bring the kevala ananda khanda, the khanda or the path of pure bliss by loving Krishna. Therefore, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sujita Vishvashakoya. With great determination and faith, my dear brother, worship Lord Chaitanya Rodichnanda. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. And there's only one price for getting entrance into this flood of love of God. Vishaya chariya seva seya majya muke bolo hari hari. You give up your sense gratification, then you can go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It's the only price. So first you taste the Hare Krishna mantra, then you agree, ah, it's very nice. You give up your sense gratification. It's like you've given up your sense gratification, right? Well, what's left?
Yes, at least give up your gross sense gratification, then gradually you can work on the subtle things. The gross things are the four vices of Kali Yuga. You know what those are, right? So, first get rid of those things, and then you can start working on the subtle things. Don't you feel so much better without those four things? Really hellish when you think about it. Intoxication, illicit sex, would be you again. Destroy you. So the quicker you can get your life together, the quicker you can do the highest welfare work. There's so much to learn. So you're 22? I started when I was 22. So be practical. Put in the time for purifying yourself of lifetimes of contamination. First purify yourself, and you can help others. So in Krishna consciousness, we're just trying to get you to take care of yourself first. There's so much to learn. Then the hope is you'll become qualified to take care of others. Alright, so what time will we have class tomorrow? Program tomorrow? It'll work. To the highest welfare. That means everything starts at 7:30. Came on the night to get 7 in class. You come, Mark? Chloe, you have nothing to say? You getting enough time to read? Alright, Hare Krishna.